Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is April 19th, 2023. We are here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. If you're new here to the Fightful post-shows, I know a lot of you found us via the MJF interview that has exploded this week, over 75,000 views. Well, you're in luck because we're here every night. Monday after Raw, Tuesday after NXT, Wednesday after AEW Dynamite, Thursday after ROH and Impact, Friday after SmackDown and Rampage, and it's starting to look like Saturdays after Collision, whenever the hell that takes off. But we also have daily news shows between here and our sister site, Overbooked. Make sure you check out those. We'll tell you more about those a little bit later. But we are joined by Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how you doing?
Fine. I'm still sick.
What an intro.
I'm still sick from like 10 days ago. I can't get rid of this stupid cough. Won't go anywhere. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things of like, I was just in the wrong frame of mind to be given the things that Tony Khan gave me tonight. I was like, all right, I see where you're going with this. I just don't have the bandwidth to like just be taken for the ride between now and Memorial Day weekend. Okay. It's just one of those things.
Well, we hope that you guys will chime in a little bit more. Like Orion Ben says, countdown to Alex explosion in 3, 2, 1. You can donate super chats at youtube.com/Fightful. We are on podcast platforms everywhere, all over the place. But we're live here on YouTube. You can also donate Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. We would greatly appreciate you guys doing that. That allows you to get your question and statement in even before we go on the air. And our great moderator, Luis, will collect those and distribute them as the show goes on. Bako5 says that Vince McMahon booked this show. TK needs a writer or booker. I feel like some delegation will probably be made by the time Collision rolls around.
Like, you're trying to book this Dynamite, 2 hours of ROH, an hour of Rampage, and 2 more hours of Collision, plus whatever happens on Dark and Elevation. I feel like just maybe you might be spreading yourself a little too thin.
Jordan Cooper says, so much disjointed stuff, random run-ins, bizarre alignments, illogical finishes. Did Tony Khan have ChatGPT write tonight's episode? There was a lot of, like, as I looked at the show, I was like, how's this going to go? We'll see. KJ says TK has been rightly criticized in the past for rushing pay-per-view builds, but would you agree that he's improved? The Double or Nothing card is already clear 1 month out. Pillars match, Cole Jericho, White Starks, BCC Elite, Outcast versus Homegrown, etc. Yeah, it does seem like they have several pay-per-view matches build. I mean, Swerve and Lee need to have their match at Double or Nothing for the love of God. Mm-hmm. But I would say that some of that is better, but it doesn't mean that the content associated with it necessarily is better.
There's a happy medium, I believe, between there's a week between now and the pay-per-view. Here's all these matches we just booked. And it's 5 weeks between now and the pay-per-view. You already know what's on the card. There's a happy medium there in between where some things are booked early, some things are booked late, some things are booked somewhere in the middle. Right now it feels like we know exactly what that card is now. And we're 12 days out from May even beginning, and that thing doesn't happen till the end of May. So
Christian Hernandez says, "Hey Sean and Alex, wondering if you heard any news about All Out being in Chicago this year. Random question, favorite taco toppings." Okay, so yes, we had reported that the it's still on the schedule for the United Center. And Alex, this is something I've mentioned. I think they should throw every goddamn thing they have at the wall for that week. My hope is that in 1 month, AEW is announcing, oh, not only are we getting this Collision show, but all the pay-per-views are going to be on Max, which is formerly HBO Max. It's combining with Investigation Discovery. You mean to tell me I could get Euphoria, Barry, Succession, Chip and Joanna Gaines, Joe Kenda, and AEW all in the same place? But I mean, I have talked to people in Warner that say, well, what better way to attract wrestling fans than if you have All In one weekend, All Out the next on this service? Because how could wrestling fans resist even at least trying that, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. Favorite taco flavor or taco toppings? There's one at a place local to me, Agave and Rye, that has like sweet and spicy bacon on theirs, and it's very, very good.
I'm a fairly on tacos, like burritos. You can throw anything you want in there. Like I want the burrito should be big enough that they require two tortillas to close it up. A taco, give me the protein. I'm an asada guy. I'm a carne asada guy.
Okay,
a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of tomato, a little cheese, sour cream. We're good.
Chi-Town Spurs says he liked this show a lot. There's some cool stuff developing and a couple feeds that felt cold that feel are feuds that felt cold feel hot all of a sudden. I feel like this was a show that I may not have looked at and said, okay, need that. But it's one that was probably important for the development of several feuds that will pay off down the line. Apple Shy Jedi says Dynamite was a hot mess, fun at times, is hoping Spears was going to join BC Gold, SGS for life. We'll be talking about that shortly. Ideally, for our moderator, Luis, apply that to that specific segment. But we're going to actually tie in the opening promos to the main event segment. But Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, made her homecoming. Great reaction. Those stupid-ass terrible towels were a great visual. For this, as they always are. And she always gets a superstar reaction in Pittsburgh, as she should. But she and Jamie Hayter defeated Toni Storm and Ruby Soho, which I do feel like it does take some of the allure out of whatever eventual outcasts versus outsiders. Because, I mean, this is completely satisfactory. They had a match. Britt and Jamie won it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The hot tag to Britt was really good. I thought that was exceptional. This was one of the things I enjoyed mostly on the show, but it seems like there's going to be some continuation of that, as we'll talk about a little bit later on. But how'd you feel about it?
It's always good seeing Britt back in Brittsburg. There's a really cool element there. I feel like AEW is really great about like saying, hey, this person is from here. You all know she's from here. We're going to put on a big show for that person in their hometown. And that always, it always feels really nice. I one of the things I did like a lot about it is they really did a great job of protecting Ruby. Ruby, who kicked out of the Panama Sunrise, kicked out of the Stomp, and then only after kicking out of those two things, she got put in the Lockjaw and had to tap out. I thought that was a good job there. They were able to protect her in the loss.
Feels
as
like
well.
She's taking on a bit of a leadership role there. Like I see her as like the integral the person at the forefront, despite Soraya's fame.
It does. It feels like, I don't know. There's an energy to her that I think fits the whole outcast thing. She feels even more so than Soraya and Tony. She feels pissed that no. I came from this other place. That place treated me like dog shit. Here I am here. You guys all love me, but now you don't love me anymore. So I'm doing this out of spite. There is a spiteful energy to her that I think really fits this. And I hope they give her the majority of the mic time going through this, as I believe the outcasts and the homegrowns, because the homegrowns are still technically outnumbered and aren't, there was, there, we'll talk more about this later. No Riho and her pipe sighting. That did not happen tonight. So it still seems like there's a lot left between now and the finish of this to the story.
Darren Walker says, did Jamie Hayter get injured tonight? Looks to be a shoulder injury at the end of the match. I'll ask about it. It would certainly make sense based on what happened or what didn't happen towards the end of the show. I'll tell you what doesn't make sense, spending a bunch of money on a 4K webcam and it constantly going out of focus. But I'll find out more. But that would just be AEW's luck. It would certainly be their luck. Jambeard says, Ruby's definitely felt like the leader after the You People promo where they started to wear the matching lime green and she joined. I have kind of gotten that feel. And I do think that it's important that they kind of highlight her in that way, because Tony is a former world champion here.
Yeah.
And Soraya is Soraya. So, I mean, I think it's good that they position her above them on the screen, because I think that's important to bring her up. MC Scammer says, hope there's less gulping tonight with Alex. Alex is at least very aware of the things he says on the air. Denise just says things without looking them up. And
I missed the gulping.
She explained why she gulped hard, because it's hard for her to gulp softly, because otherwise she'll choke if it gets too far in her throat.
I'm glad that I missed the gulping kerfuffle. I'm glad about that now.
IBN says, outside of the audio issues that they fixed, the opening segment, this was a good episode. I feel like I'll need to decide this throughout my review. The Elite come out. They call Blackpool Combat Club out, and they want to squash this. Bryan Danielson pops up on the video screen, but the BCC are there to attack. You could hear the crowd reacting to it as well.
Every time that kind of thing happens, I'm like, okay, literally, Bucks, Kenny, everyone in that audience is telling you there are men sneaking up from behind you. Please be smart enough to know that yourselves.
Well, there is one part I specifically loved about this, and who knows where it'll go, but
yeah.
Don Callis comes running out to make the save with the chair. Mm-hmm. He gets halfway to the ring and he says, I don't like the way this looks. So he runs to the back and gets Takeshita, mm-hmm. who he's been scouting for months and months and months. Right. And Takeshita comes in and Takeshita cleans house. And you got Don Callis being like, you're in the Elite now. Here we go. Mm-hmm. One of those. While Kenny is more like, we had him. We had him, but you didn't.
Kenny did not have him. It felt very much like Takeshita was in catering,
eating some
food. Maybe he's in a little conversation with somebody backstage, and then Don Callis ran in and said, "Come on down to the ring." He was wearing like a windbreaker.
Yeah,
like he was not at all ready for this. And to me, if you're going to have Takeshita join the elite, like for realsies, this would not be the way you would do it. So that's why this feels like this is not the final form of whatever happened. Like,
do you Callus think that? Go ahead.
I mean, Callus basically saying, "This is my guy. My guy is in the elite with you." And Kenny looking at him like, "Well, thank you for helping me kick Wheeler Yuta's ass, but all right, I guess we'll have a conversation about this later." Like, it didn't feel like a definitive statement had been made. It felt like there's definitely some room for a little switcheroo later.
So, I mean, the one that a lot of people bring up is that Takeshita joins BCC. Right. And then, you know, of course, Hangman and Ibushi join the Elite.
Right.
Which makes an awful lot of sense. And I guess maybe he turns on Don Callis, or maybe become the British Columbia Combat Club or something like that. That'd I think he's actually too. From Manitoba, but whatever.
Yeah.
Never stopped anybody. I just love this angle. I love how it's integrating so many other people. And
yes.
That was the original concept of the BCC.
Right.
Was to go and build some people.
I think also there was a very pointed thing where he got in the ring and he stood about 6-7 feet away from Bryan Danielson and just shook his head. No, you're not going to murder Kenny Omega with a screwdriver. And then Bryan stood there with a screwdriver and then got out of the ring. Mm-hmm. That whenever that kind of thing happens, that usually portends those two people joining forces later. They did that a lot with Jericho, where Jericho looked like he was going to save somebody, you know, from somebody with a bat, but never made contact or really even threw an actual punch. And then eventually that person he was saving somebody from joined forces with him. Yeah, I'm 50-50 right now on where Takeshita ultimately lands.
We got Jambeard saying Takeshita really does feel like he's going to turn. And after Don raised their hands, Kenny looked unsure about him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Kenny's like been unsure about him for a while. Like the guy that he brought into AEW, like make no mistake, even within storyline, the only reason Callis is there is because Kenny's like, this is my guy. So he's coming along now. That's the only reason. Nakazawa too. Cutler the same with the Bucks. Like Like even within the story, they are kind of hangers on that have kind of proven themselves. So I don't know if he likes somebody else being the apple of Callis's eye. Mm. Jambeard says someone in Discord booked this. Takeshita betrays Elite, joins BCC. Hangman returns with Elite still down one guy. Enter a golden lover. My friend, someone on Discord, someone on this show 2 months ago booked this months and months ago. Come on, my friend. Someone on Discord. We had somebody today during Listen, Your Boy say, SRS, there are reports that a women's segment got cut from Monday Night Raw. Is Fightful going to report on this? And I said, my friend, Fightful did report on this. Mm-hmm. FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. We got a lot of good stuff for you today, including guy who did not appear in this segment. Adam Hangman Page is negotiating a new deal, or at least his reps are, with AEW. This looks to be a pretty big year for AEW, Alex. You got monster shows. You've got international presence between Canada and the UK. You've got at least 4 big deals being renegotiated, which is the Elite. This is a very, very big period for them.
Yeah. No, I think that's very true. Yeah, Hangman feels like a lifer to me. He just feels like his whole persona is intertwined with the story of AEW. So I hope they work something out. That guy gets great money to stay with AEW for a long, long time.
Yeah, Wardlow revealing that he has enlisted the help of Arn Anderson.
Yeah,
I kind of dig it. Why not? What the hell else is Arn Anderson doing? I just hope it's not like one of those superficial managerial situations that we have seen, unfortunately, far too many of in AEW.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that there's a little bit more to it. They did get involved in the match that we saw immediately following, and we'll talk about that shortly. But Arn Anderson and Wardlow, how you feeling?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. There's nothing wrong with it, like on paper, but I'll tell you, like, what it led to tonight was not promising to me, because you know me, I want two big beefy son of a bitch guys to like just settle in the ring by beating on each other until one of them can't go no more. I don't like extraneous stuff in my wrestling.
Yes.
I really don't. And if what we're just going to get is Arn Anderson getting in there and pointing an imaginary gun at people's foreheads to make them run away so that his boy Wardlow can secure a victory, that ain't for me. But we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, we got Wardlow winning the TNT title. This title has been hot potatoed a lot. I know that some people are acting like it's the end of wrestling as we know it. I don't believe so. I don't believe that this reign for Hobbs necessarily, I mean, it got him a title reign, but I don't know that it did a ton by the way of like putting him over. In fact, it put him with the QTV gang, which QTV gets heat every time he's out there, led to a DDT from Arn Anderson after also for some reason like the Lucha Bros are involved as well. There was a lot of very, very overbooked stuff. And I should probably use this to go into the plug for Fightful Overbooked, but I'll save that for after. There was a lot of overbooked here. Jambeard says, going to get a prehistoric meat match. Because it wasn't just Wardlow versus Hobbs.
No.
It was, QT running around on the outside, Arn running around on the outside, some interaction there, the Lucha Brothers, or was it just Penta and Alex Abrahantes?
And then Penta afterwards, and Abrahantes, yep.
Cage and Super Shredder come out, and like, it was just one thing after the next. I didn't feel like it needed all this. I feel like this could have been condensed, like maybe some of this happens on Rampage or something. Like, it was just a lot.
What we got is Wardlow winning his title back from Samoa Joe. 3 days later, he loses it to Hobbs with the help of QT Marshall. How many weeks now? 3-4 weeks later? Hobbs loses the title back to Wardlow with the help of Arn Anderson, negating all of the help from QT. Also, Penta's there for some reason. To me, if you said, okay, Wardlow got his title back from Samoa Joe, ending that feud for Wardlow, Hobbs is sitting there with a shot at the TNT title. He gets his shot. He wins. He just wins. He just beats Wardlow because these two guys are really evenly matched. And then he has a few more defenses, makes him look good, beats those guys. Notice I haven't mentioned QT Marshall once, because imagine if that guy's not involved and it's just Hobbs with the Book of Hobbs, where the Book of Hobbs was supposed to be telling us about how he was going to run roughshod over everybody. And he doesn't have that anymore. What he has is a TMZ knockoff that is helping him win matches. Instead of that, you got now a rematch where Wardlow gets his title shot, a rematch against Hobbs, and beats him this time. You and I have talked about this many occasions. One of our favorite things to cover on Raw during some really lean years for Raw was Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair, where they hot potatoed that title back and forth because either woman could beat the other on any given night. Like it's what it should feel like is a best of seven NBA playoff series where every game goes down to the final minute and it ends up one team wins it 4-3. Like if you had just done that with Hobbs and Wardlow without all this extraneous bullshit, I know I would be a lot more happy about it. There's a lot of people on my timeline who were like, I wanted Hobbs to have a much longer reign. And a lot of people who were like, I'm happy Wardlow's got the title back, but sure, this was a weird way to do it. This doesn't seem to please anybody. So it's a very odd thing to do. Am I excited, I guess, for Wardlow versus Luchasaurus? Sure, that could be a lot of fun. But then what does Hobbs do? Like, it feels like you're just leaving Hobbs out to dry out of this thing.
Albert Pont says, why not have Luchasaurus cost Wardlow the match to have that set up the feud? And after Wardlow wins and Hobbs has a good run as champ, Wardlow wins. I mean, that would have been good too. I love the way that Luchasaurus looked. He looked incredible. He really looked like he got the ooze and just like reformed. Meet Normus says, hello, Fightful Faithful. I was looking forward to Hobbs Wardlow. Ended up being sports entertaining. And I'm looking forward to forgetting Hobbs's first title reign. They left a lot of meat on the bone, IMO. Yeah, they certainly did. Lots of meat there, but they still need it on the bone. But, you know, maybe you've got a little too much hair on your bone or around your bone, Alex. Manscaped and the code Fightful is going to help you out. The best in men's grooming, and we're not just talking about your big, nasty pubes. We're talking about your body in general. They got that lawnmower, which is that body trimmer. They got the beard hedger, which takes care of your beard. They got the weed whacker, electric nose and ear hair trimmer, plus all the other great things that they have. The Ultra Premium Collection, which is a skin and hair care kit. They've got boxers. They've got formulations. They've even got cologne. They've got a little bit of everything. That Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the best beard kit I've ever seen. It's got comb, brush, scissors, formulations, beard oil, the trimmers, all kinds of good stuff for you. But they have all kinds of different packages, not just for your package. Manscaped and the code Fightful get 20% off plus free shipping. You can get free boxers, toiletry bag, and free shipping with the purchase of the Performance Package 4.0 or the Platinum Package 4.0. Check them out, my friends. You're going to love it. You're not going to look like John Moxley after he literally breathes with Manscaped. They reduce those trimming accidents significantly. Check it out, manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Oh, I got you on the Julie Cutler. You wish. Ooh, nice. Buddy.
Nice.
You wish, buddy. But I want to shout out Fightful Overbooked. They are our sister YouTube website, youtube.com/Fightful Overbooked. We got a new show 3 times a week, In the Weeds. It's going to have a lot of exclusive content on it. But Alex, I did a run into myself and Shaza McKenzie. And I had some people asking me to show this clip in the air, but this is the type of danger that you're in when you mess with me. She's ready. She's ready.
This guy just keeps running in unsuspected, getting his shit off, DDT, elbows. He's breaking. I don't know what the.
Hey.
I just literally knocked over all of my monitors.
That's weird. I'm having your face, Sean.
Don't mess with me, okay?
No.
You keyboard warriors that have never taken a bump, never been in the ring.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll step back for this one. Mm-hmm. For this one. Because that'd be really bad if that happened during a show. Mm-hmm. I legitimately knocked every single thing off of my desk. Check that full interview out over on Fightful Overbooked. There is a ton of great content over there as well. In the Weeds interviewed Deonna Purrazzo, her first interview after winning the Knockouts Championship. But MC Scammer says, Alex, what the hell is a burrito? It's a meat wrap. I mean, you can have burritos without meat at all in them.
No, it's true. You could. I would never, but you can. It's possible.
Adrian Wells, thank you so much, man. You were so generous to us. He gifted 2 memberships and a $10 super chat. I'll love it. I'll love the day when you can gift Fightful Select memberships. I don't know why that isn't a thing yet. I don't know why Patreon dislikes money so much that they don't allow that to happen. Jambeard says Hobbs held the title for 42 days and I think 6 defenses. Was it six defenses? Wow. Those were on Dark.
I'm staying corrected.
That's got to be on Dark. Rampage.
There were a lot of Rampagers.
And that's okay. You probably should have those types of matches on Rampage as well. Damn, okay. Well, he did one at NEW Spring Slam against Wrecking Ball Ligursky, which is a badass wrestling name.
That is
just objectively a great name. Dynamite against Silas Young. That was an enhancement match. Battle of the Belts. Okay, that was a tag team title match. He beat Penta on Rampage. That's a good one. The House Rules match against Christopher Daniels. Nobody saw that, though. Yeah. Rampage St. Patrick's Slam against Rey Fénix. That's a good one as well. So, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that they had him defending it.
I mean, 11 out of 17 TNT champs being 50 days or less. I guess I didn't realize that it had been 42 days. To me, it felt like it was more like in the high 20s. But
yeah,
if it's that long, I guess it's that long. I did expect when Hobbs finally got a title, they were going to keep it on him for about 4 or 5 months.
Reminder, while I'm plugging stuff, if you haven't gotten enough Dynamite tonight, you got Will Washington every Thursday with Day After Dynamite here at youtube.com/Fightful. Make sure you guys hit this subscribe button, that thumbs up button. It greatly helps us, and we want to get to 100,000 because I am jealous of Denise. Congrats to her for getting to 100,000 subscribers. Blazed Radio says it's your boy, Blase McCoy. AEW all week long, Monday Dark, Tuesday... Or Dark Elevation, Tuesday Dark, Wednesday Dynamite, Thursday ROH, Friday Rampage, Saturday Collision. I like AEW a lot, but it's a lot to keep up with. Oh, it certainly is. Mm-hmm. I would consolidate Dark and Elevation, Alex.
I would,
and,
too.
I mean, shit, maybe even throw it in the bin. You've got ROH where you can do a lot of that as well, but I understand if they want to keep a let's get somebody on the show type of thing. Mm-hmm. Rampage. I would say Rampage is going to get hurt by this, but I don't know that it is. I think it's going to be booked the same inconsequential way it always has been.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, if you're going to have, I feel like you could just move Rampage to Saturday, give it an extra hour, and there's your brand split. Yep. I don't know what Rampage is. If there's a second 2-hour show that is supposed to be on equal footing with Dynamite, Rampage really ends up looking like the short end of the stick there.
Yeah, and I mean, Rampage started off as Punk's show, right? Like, that was the show he debuted on, and he drew the numbers on and all that stuff. Jay White defeated Commander. You had Sean Spears ringside. I'm glad to see him, and it's clear they're working towards a 10 gimmick. Mm-hmm. And good! That was when he was the most over, and that was something he got over. I heard a bunch of turds on the internet saying he's not over, the chant's over. Well, guess what? It's his goddamn chant. Give it back to him. Let him have it. Let him have the thing that he got over. So I thought I like that. He would rate moves and all that. I thought that was good. But Commander is now All Elite. Eloquent is very glad about that. I know some people thought this match went long based on Jay White. But I think when you are about to announce that Commander is All Elite, you need a match like that or a match where he wins. Now, granted, he shouldn't have been beating Switchblade Jay White, but they did need to nail him down to a contract. We had reported a couple weeks ago on FightfulSelect.com he was working without one. I do like that in some matches, his obsession with walking the ropes undermines him. And I think that works really, really well because he's a hot dog. He's a show off. He wants to impress people more than he wants to win. And that is his unraveling so often, Alex.
Yeah. Agreed. This is really good. I think you're right. If you're going to give a guy the All Elite graphic, you don't want him to lose to Jay White in 2.5 minutes.
Sure.
Otherwise,
it's like, what the hell did he do to get that?
Right. I think that there's definitely some future fun programs for him to do as well. Get him in a tag team with somebody. There's a lot of fun stuff to do with that. And it does appear after this that the guy that we might be getting as a second to Ricky Starks in this feud with Jay White and Juice Robinson might be Sean Spears, which could be a lot of fun. I think Sean can add a lot to a program just because of the way he gets under the heel's skin and can do his 10 thing. Him sitting in ringside giving Jay White moves fours and fives was funny.
Yes. Yes. so also he's got a banger of a theme song. It's great. It's a really great theme song. Mm-hmm. Jambeard says, Jesus walked on water, died for our sins. Jesus Commander walked on the ropes and springboarded for our sins. Mm-hmm. That rope walk into the moonsault is
so cool.
It's unnecessary, but it's entirely breathtaking.
But it's fun.
Breathtaking. Mike from Indeed says, Commander getting signed got me in my feels. Been faithfully watching that man shred rings on the U.S. Indies for some time now. Such a special talent. He is. He is. And now we are in the situation where it's like, all right, if they're going to do split rosters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, three split rosters apparently between much. ROH. All yeah. right. Well, okay. Add a little bit of depth here and there, I guess. Sure. But I just want to see everybody used. Where's Miro? Bring him back.
Man.
We got Vicky asking about Andrade. He has an injured shoulder.
If you're gonna have basically a three-way split roster, there's no reason Miro can't be like the top or second heel on one of those three brands.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason why that couldn't be a thing.
We have KJ saying, should Jay White have perhaps debuted in a higher profile feud than Ricky Starks, or does it make sense to build him slower since not all AEW fans know him? Also, what current AEW stars would be good fits for BC Gold? Oddly, Pac makes the most sense to me. I think Pac makes an awful lot of sense.
Pac Beck would be great. He's not doing anything with Death Triangle right now.
Yeah, I think that would be really, really great. Who do you see as a possibility?
Well, when Spears was out there, before he started throwing up fours and fives, I thought there was a chance that that Spears could fit, you know, as the guy who takes pinfalls for Bullet Club and hits people with chairs and whatever. There's a lot of possibilities, particularly if you look at people who are like, hey, that guy is good, but where's
I
he
like
going?
This? Angelico would I be think excellent. Angelico would be a good show.
Right. I think that Ricky Starks is the perfect level a feud for Jay White, because AEW fans who may not know Jay White have been brought along to be like, Ricky Starks is the next big thing.
Yeah.
So him feuding with Jay White is a big deal. And hopefully we'll see it actually work out that both guys benefit from the feud. I think we can do that with those two dudes.
I think Adam Cole would be good.
Yeah, I mean, if the alternative is what I saw tonight, I would certainly say, that him joining Bullet Club Gold would be a great idea.
Eloquent says Jay White talking shit mid match is my favorite thing. He's really, really good verbally. I can't believe WWE did not nail him down. Corey Stalling says, Chris Statlander update. How's her recovery? She's still a little bit off from what I understand, but she's there a lot. She's around quite often. Backstage, FTR about to be interviewed, and this is very, very confusing to me. Like, they didn't hear all day that Mark Briscoe got attacked, because Renee was like, well, I know we're supposed to interview you, but this was earlier today. I was like, what?
And then they sprinted 50 feet to the training room.
Like, they didn't hear him, or
I don't know what
this
that
didn't
was.
Make this didn't make a lot of sense. And you got the Jarrett gang back there, and Mark Briscoe like wants them to all team up together. None of this made any sense to me.
No.
None of it. I don't get any of this. Why?
Mm-mm.
Bako 5 says FTR running to a room 50 feet away after seeing Mark get beat up on a monitor is the dumbest thing I've seen. They need writers. Freddie Prinze Jr. I don't know about that.
This was odd. This didn't feel human. You know what I mean? Like
they didn't hear about it all day. But the Jarrett gang did.
I mean, here's one thing you can do. And honestly, this is one of those things that, like, maybe not writers, but just, I don't know, somebody whose job it is to think of this kind of stuff. Okay, so what's the angle here? The angle is you guys are talking to Renee, and Renee informs you that Mark Briscoe got jumped earlier. To make this work, we're going to have the two of you guys come in with your bags. Like, you just got here.
Yes.
And then Renee says, I don't know if you guys heard this, Mark Briscoe got jumped. And then you guys can run, because you just got here, wouldn't know about it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing that makes this make just enough more sense that we're not sitting here going, what the hell, this felt
also
weird.
This whole segment could have been an earlier today segment.
Yeah, like the whole thing could have been. You're
the
right.
Whole thing could have been. Cyclops sent 15 Twitch bits over on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Says, I haven't watched AEW in a while. What's the correlation to Penta, Hobbs, and Wardlow? This was a mess. Oh, you mean and Christian and Luchasaurus and Alex Abrahantes and QT Marshall and Harley Cameron and Arn Anderson? Man, I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you. In a Hardy's video, that's fun. Chris Jericho confronted Adam Cole. Adam Cole got a great reaction. His family was there as well. And Jericho was like, ah, the crowd loves you. It's great. It's fantastic. But Adam Cole points at Jericho and he's like, listen, I respect you. Base my catchphrase off of you. All that shows him respect. And Jericho goes, well, I don't have any respect for you. And it leads to a beatdown with Daniel Garcia and Jericho. You have Britt Baker running out there and trying to get involved, slaps Jericho, but then she gets jumped by the Outcasts. The Outcasts 100% make sense to be buddy-buddy with Jericho Appreciation Society. Fully, I mean, that's the whole thing. They met in the sports entertainment company, etc. This didn't hit for me. It didn't hit for me. I feel like maybe if this were on another show where there weren't so much of, okay, now it's this person and this person and this person and this person and now this interference and this and this and this, I feel like maybe it would have hit better, but I'll never know that. It has Jericho in it. I know you hate it. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, it's not necessarily all that. I get why the Outcasts would take the opportunity, because Shivani was adamant about it being a setup from the beginning. That what they wanted was for Britt to come down and try and get involved, and then they had the Outcasts there to do it. And what if it's like a marriage of convenience for one night? Cool. I don't need the Outcast to be hanging out with Yas all the time. It feels like it's just too much. What I liked the least about it is Adam Cole being handcuffed to the bottom rope, and you know, Britt laying there, reaching out to him, but she can't quite crawl to him. And he just, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not like it's your wife who's not a part of this, who got involved where she shouldn't. Like when Randy Orton punted John Cena's dad, you know what I mean? That's what this feels like they're going for. But it's Britt Baker, who's a professional wrestler herself. And we know that because we just saw her get the victory in a match earlier tonight. I don't know why Adam Cole had to apologize so much to Britt for getting her. She got kendo stick. I've seen her take a lot more punishment in matches that she was in as opposed to a 3-on-1 beatdown. So this all felt like they were trying to get more drama out of this situation and using tactics that don't really, to me, make a lot of sense to get to that drama. I was fine getting let's do an Adam Cole versus Jericho match. Cool. I didn't need to be like, man, you messed up. You got these three girls to hit my fiance or girlfriend with a kendo stick a bunch of times, and that's where you messed up, pal. Like, I don't need that. Let's have our first feud back for babyface Adam Cole versus Jericho. This feels like putting a hat on a hat to me. But yeah.
Jam Beard says, I feel like at some point we're gonna get Cole and Britt versus Jericho Saraya match. Yeah, I mean that would make sense from a let's do this.
Something they're gonna do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Jam Beard says after Cole did the Jericho stupid idiot comment, Jericho went back to his 09 slow talking heel.
That's true. It's true.
And he's very attentive to things like that as well. Bill says Cole and Britt was too Jack and Rose on the Wrath. I watched the 25 year anniversary of that in theaters, poor Jack got hosed. Marco says, maybe it's because it's new, but I'm not used to seeing Cole and Britt as baby faces. It stopped me from feeling sympathetic.
Yeah, it was weird.
I do feel like still like Britt is Britt. And in the Pittsburgh world, she's complete baby face. And I'm okay with that. I'm completely fine with that. Because like she rolls in. If it's in Cincinnati next week and she comes out waving a terrible towel, she's going to be a heel. People are going to cheer her getting beat with a kendo stick.
Sure.
Anthony Martin says, where was anyone else? Where's Jamie or any other woman? What about Keith Lee? So with Keith, you could at least say he wasn't there because we didn't see him throughout the night.
Wasn't there.
But with Jamie, you're going to have to tell a story. You're going to have to say she was hurt. She was in the trainer's room. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let her go out there. You got to tell that story. Or Britt's got to say, where the hell were you?
There you go.
Where the hell was Rebel? Why are we to believe that Rebel just doesn't work here anymore?
Yeah.
Come out with her makeup, brush, and clean house for the love of God. We got the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn defeating 2.0 and Jake Hager. Man, the Acclaimed were over massively in front of this crowd. And if they were to have lost this, then they would have had to have joined Yas. And I love that Yas wanted these guys because they see what everybody sees. They're entertainers. Right. They can help them.
Uh-huh.
And this was, the reaction was great. I'll tell you the most impressive thing of the match was how easily Jake Hager lifted Billy Gunn for that slam. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, man. Like there was no effort whatsoever for that. Just unbelievable. I like 2.0 and Hager doing their thing. I think it's a great use of Jake Hager. 2.0 is great. It looks like Daddy Magic is leaning out a little bit. That's cool. But the Acclaimed and Gunn, like they're still a hot act. And I would love to see them since they're not in the tag team title hunt anymore. Let's put them in trios competition. Why the hell not?
Sure. This is one of those, to me, a stipulation that kind of dictates you got to follow through with it. Otherwise, it's just, why is the stipulation there? I've always kind of been a guy, like, not that I want to see Acclaimed in Yas until Double or Nothing, but do I think that that the Acclaimed could find some fun things to do with that and make it work? Yes. And it feels like if you have a stipulation where if you lose this match, then you have to join Yas until Double or Nothing. And if you win this match, then precisely nothing changes. Like, if you're going to do this kind of a stipulation, no matter who wins, something's got to change. Because we always like change in storytelling. It helps progress things, new possibilities for storytelling. With the Acclaimed winning this, now we're just back to square one again. And it's always fun to like find a way to progress things. If the Acclaimed win, which they did, I think you got to have some kind of stipulation where something's got to happen to Daddy Magic and Jake Hager. Even like put him in a dunk tank or something. I don't know. I don't care what it is. There's got to be some kind of consequence for 2.0 and Hager losing.
Tom LaValle says, best part of the Baker beatdown was Daddy Magic laughing as they came to the ring. He's been on fire in promos on commentary. He's been unbelievable. I think that promo he did while bloodied last year is one of the best I've ever seen. It was so special.
Yeah.
That good. Guys, I mentioned today, I'm going to London at the end of June, beginning of July. There's so many Canada dates. I won't be able to go to those, but I just got back from LA, Indianapolis. I live here in Kentucky, but Alex, no matter where I go, NordVPN.com/Fightful has me covered. Sometimes when you're on the road, you miss your favorite shows. I was literally watching AEW Dynamite on my flight to LA, and it cut off in the middle of it because I switched time zones. So I fired up the NordVPN.com/Fightful, was able to watch it. A little trick that I've learned: if you're here on the East Coast and you got to wait till 3 a.m. for new episode drops, you can actually get them at 7 p.m. on certain services with NordVPN.com/Fightful when you get it on that UK time instead of waiting for midnight Pacific. That is all in addition to the fastest VPN in the world. It allows you to change your virtual location with just one click, and it also keeps you safe and secure when browsing online, whether you're at the airport, you're at home, you're at the restaurants or hotels or venues, any number of those things. It's the same service talked about by Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, Forbes, the BBC, Wired, and so many more. They protect you from ads, trackers, and malware, and they work on all your devices, whether it be a phone, laptop, desktop, PC, router. The smart TV is one of the best utilizations of it because then it applies it to all your apps and you get all of those benefits. You get a 30-day money-back guarantee. It is probably the most versatile sponsor that we have. It protects every device that you have on one account. You can change your virtual location to anywhere. So anytime you see one of those little videos when you're scrolling through Twitter and it says, not available in your area, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful, check it out. They also have 24/7 customer support. There are sometimes, and I love to help out you guys whenever you ask me, what should I change my VPN to get this service? Well, they've got 24/7 customer support, so they can help you out all the time. Jambeard says we need to see SRS do an in-person Quizlemania. It's possible. It's certainly possible. I love working with them. So we kicked off the show with an interrupting promo. Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, Darby Allin. I thought Sammy Guevara had the best promo of these three, and that was a low bar. I didn't think that these promos hit. I know all three of these men have worked incredibly hard to get where they are. Like, I've seen the work. I see the in-ring. All of them. All of them. But I don't think that this is hitting for me. We've all been here since the start. We've all had jobs here since pretty much the start. But we haven't been able to possibly accomplish what this other guy has. MJF, who has done all this, has barely lost matches, is making a ton of money, is getting super famous. It's not hitting for me with that. I want to see this match so bad. I'm stoked for a possible fatal four-way between these four as much as any match I can think of in the ring right now, because, oh my God, it'll be a pace that we probably have never seen out of an AEW title match, assuming it goes that way. But when you stack these promos up against what is about to be approached, which is MJF saying literally anything, it really highlights why MJF is where he is and why they haven't been able to maybe break through in that sense, Alex.
Yeah, this just doesn't do it for me. I mean, the whole, like, you're only here because you couldn't make it as a skateboarder. Oh, yeah? Well, you're from California. Like, I don't know. What is this? Like, what is the, why is that supposed to be a thing that I'm supposed to care about? Like, all the, and it does feel like every time you get these three guys in a ring, the first time there was a novelty to it because we could see, oh, they're setting up this fatal four-way. That's interesting. Yeah. And then when these guys started, you know, dropping bombs on each other, that was their A material. But we've seen this now. I feel like this is the third, maybe the fourth time all these guys have had mics at the same time. The stuff that the insults they're bringing out, they're not going to hit as hard.
I think at this point, like, the next time those three are in a ring doing a promo together, MJF should interrupt them and be like, I hate these people, but I can't subject them to this.
Yeah, yes.
Like, I can't, I wouldn't put anybody through what I saw. Like, there. MJF just outshines them on promos so much that it's not like an undermining thing. It's not him trying to undermine them. It's just he's so much more natural with the ability to speak. And I don't think Sammy did bad. I thought Sammy's was pretty solid. And I liked the interactions there. And I'm very excited to tweet out the clip of where MJF told me, some people may say that he looks like he sells Ritalin to seventh graders, but not me. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to relive that clip. But they have history, and they played off each other in the past very, very well.
Yeah.
I like how this all played into the main event. Once we got to the main event, I loved what happened there.
The MJF coming out and saying, I'm going to start a Pillars tournament.
Yes.
One of you is going to get a bye. He brought out a hat and pulled out Darby's name and seemed upset by that. And then said, okay, so tonight it's going to be Jungle Boy versus Sammy Guevara. And next week, the winner of that match faces Darby, and the winner of that will face me in 6 weeks at Double or Nothing. I was like, well, that's probably not how that's going to work. But it feels like they are doing so much work to do like a bait and switch on not giving us the Fatal Four Way.
Sure.
I have no interest in MJF versus one of any of these three guys.
I mean, I would enjoy it, but compared to the option of four.
Yeah. For like the main event of a Double or Nothing. Like, I feel like that's not what I'm looking for. But I have tremendous interest in a Fatal Four-Way with all these people. So let's hope that's where we're going. If not, like, it's promotional malpractice. But
let's talk about this main event real quick.
Yeah.
It was a fucking slapper. Jesus Christ, man. There was a belly to back into a cliffhanger DDT that was one of the most exhilarating moves I've ever seen. Then Jack Perry is like, oh, I'm going to launch myself off the top rope and do a Canadian Destroyer midair. To me, I really wish he just would have saved that for the pay-per-view, because that would have been a, is this going to finish the match type of thing? Like, I really do. But this match was just incredible. And I actually liked the finish of Jack Perry getting almost counted out. And you're like, oh, Sammy doesn't want to lose, doesn't want to win it that way. What's happening? And then MJF cracks him with the ring and it's a count out. I actually like that for the way that they're going, because then afterwards you hear MJF saying, there's no four-way. There's no four-way, which seems very much like maybe a four-way.
Yeah. Earlier in the night, the backstage segment, like, I had to watch it twice because I didn't understand what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Where he was like, Sammy, I'm gonna get you the main event of Double or Nothing versus me. All you got to do is agree to lay down. And Sammy throws a fit about it, but then he says, not only will I give you the main event, but I'll give you a blank check and you can name your price. And so he writes a price on it. MJF gawks at the price, says it's too much, but then agrees to it anyway. So the check was for services rendered for the future, and also Sammy's agreeing to do a finger poke of doom.
We lost you for a second, Alex. Sorry.
This segment made little sense to me. And then the finish, was MJF ensuring that Sammy would win, so that Sammy would get the one-on-one with him at Double or Nothing again 6 weeks from now. So that MJF would get guaranteed a victory. I had on a hat. Just get us to this Fatal Four.
I'm open to seeing how they get there. Like, I mean, you can't just because otherwise, if you just announce the four way, guess what we're getting? More of these promos. And I don't want more of these promos.
Agreed.
So after next week, you're going to have 4 weeks to build to this. So I'm sure that they're going to be doing something. Right. I think it's pretty clear. MJF is saying, LOL, no four-way. Fuck right. you guys. Look, cry
that
about
part,
it.
That part is very obvious to me.
Yes.
I'm a little hazy on the exact details of this arrangement between Sammy and MJF, but I'm sure they'll explain it next week or whatever.
Perhaps by design is what I would like to
think. I would hope. I would hope it's by design.
Chris Hart says, so MJF thinks Sammy is the weak link. He'll try to help again next week, leading to the four-way. Yeah, because, I mean, at some point, like, I'm interested to see how they get Jack Perry back involved in this.
That's the thing is that
and you can't have, if they are going to a four way, you know what you can't do? Have Jack Perry get pinned one on one. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense either.
Right. Right.
Jam Beard says Max caused Jack to be counted out tonight. What if he causes a double count out next week and says he doesn't have to face anyone, but none of the other three pillars have been pinned. So that makes a lot of sense. If MJF completely motherfucks Sammy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because I would love Sammy backstage to be like, you're kind of foggy with these details about our deal. Like, are we on the up and up here? And Max, like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, and then he causes the double. Vicky says, love my Fightful Sean. Do you see Sting getting involved to counter MJF next week? Could you try to get a Sting interview? You would slay it. I would love a Sting interview. I've been trying for years and years and years. I'll tell you one that I do have. An NWO Sting interview. One of the only ones he's done in years. It's on youtube.com/Fightful, but I would love to. Our friend Seahawk did an incredible feature on Sting that I think you guys should check out. But that's on my bucket list. That's one that I'm hoping I can call in a few favors and maybe get done this year. Maybe if I improve my Twitter conduct a little bit. I do think that Sting at some point gets involved with MJF. I think that would happen. Guys, get in your super chats. We are wrapping up. Please leave a thumbs up. Izzy says SRS's new motto, eat, sleep, beat up Shaza, repeat. I draw the line at her challenging me to a match. To me, I asserted dominance. I proved my point. I interrupted her interview. My whole point is that Shaza is my friend, but sometimes I just want to prove that keyboard warriors can do exactly what she does.
Sure.
And do it better than her. So there we go. Alex, tell the people what you got going on. You are at FightfulSelect.com multiple times a week. We are breaking news there every single day. It's just $5 a month. It's incredible.
Yes. Every Friday. Well, not this Friday. But anyway, every Friday has been we're usually doing an AEW Rampage watch along while reviewing SmackDown. Rampage is Saturday this week, so we'll figure something out. There'll be a show.
Tells me that won't continue.
At least one. And then on Mondays it's me and Kate reviewing Raw on Fightful Select. On Tuesdays, reviewing NXT, whatever it currently is. On this very channel as well. So keep an eye out for those shows.
Bizarro Big L says lots of possible connecting stories. Always room to improve. Lucha Brothers fought Hobbs first, including the ROH tags. Love the Commander signing. Anyone who doesn't is a card carrying Jagov. Terrible towels will always look better than kitty face paint. I'm not even going to address this. Listen, I want my season tickets. I want a dome in Cincinnati. That way I'm good and toasty in December. That's what I want. There you go. Guys, thank you all so much. We would greatly appreciate your support over on Fightful Select. But hey, if you want more, Will Washington is here on Thursday to talk Day After Dynamite. Until next time, guys, we're out.